You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Will.
And I'm JC.
And you're listening to Dude?
Dude?
I think you are.
I think you are listening to Dude. Hi, William. How are you?
Good, Mr. Crumb. I'm well.
Well, I don't think the audience can tell because it's scary when you're like looking at your own reflection in the glasses. It's like staring into this bizarre reflective abyss. But have you ever woken up, something's wrong? Like you feel like you either injured yourself or you have Charlie horse or like, you know what I mean? Like you're like, uh-oh, something's going on.
I would say I too, in the last 2 years, have had really bad allergic reactions to my eye, just like from the air. That's how you know I'm getting old. Like just dust makes my eye swell up. I have had eye problems.
So I don't know if it was that exactly. I can't remember what the diagnosis was that the doctor... let me back up. So I literally go to like the mirror because I feel like a pressure on my eye. And I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Here's the other problem is my little French bulldog sleep in my bed with myself and my wife. And they're very flatulent. And so I they're always shooting. So I feel like I'm just at the mercy of pink eye from the dogs potentially. You know?
So you're telling me you think your dog's gas is messing with your eyes?
I wouldn't. There's so much gas being secreted from those dogs. Like I can't imagine it's good.
Is that a thing? Because I know in Knocked Up, the movie Knocked Up, that was a thing. They said, like, you know, you get pink eye from, you know, getting, like, butts in your face and gas in your face. But, like, that I've never heard an eye doctor say, like, yep, you gotta stay away from the butts.
Well, I think I believe it's bacterial, maybe. And so
maybe, for sure, but... many bacteria doesn't live just on butts.
Right. But there must be. I think I did. Let's do a little. Let's research here. All right. Pink eye fart.
Can you get pink eye? No, you cannot get pink eye from farting. See, that's the first thing that came up.
But the idea that flatulence can cause conjunctivitis is not. Wow, so there's no evidence.
We just got that from a movie, and now you're blaming your dogs for this eye problem.
Well, I do think there has to be some ramification for the amount of gas. Like, I would love it if, like, you know, like, just the ET when the people are in, like, the full body suits and they have, you know, at the end when they capture ET and they have, like, some whatever devices to, like, I don't know if they're checking radiation or stuff. They're holding something that's making a weird clicking noise. I would love for those people to come in the middle of the night and examine. They'd be like, oh my goodness. They'd be like, this is like Chernobyl. This is not healthy. There's no stability here.
How can this man still see?
He's a miracle, my Lord. It is awful. I mean, they are stinky, stinky dog. But anyway. So I went to the mirror and I looked in the mirror and I swear I looked like Rocky Balboa. My eye looked like Rocky Balboa after fighting Flubber Lake.
Is it your left eye? Because I can kind of see it.
Yeah, my left eye. It's gotten better. It now went from like Rocky fighting to whoever that actor is in The Holiday. The love interest of what's her name again from Titanic?
Kate Winslet, and you're talking about actor Rufus Sewell.
Yeah, Rufus. Rufus has got a weird eye. It looks like, you know, it's just a little small. Like it looks like he's perpetually kind of like trying to wink, but he's not quite there. You know.
Speaking of Rufus Sewell, by the way, I know this goes off topic, but he's in a show on Netflix called The Diplomat with Carrie Russell. it is the best show. And season two comes out like in a couple of days, and I'm just stoked. If you haven't seen The Diplomat, it is so, so, so good.
Do you remember, Will, we saw Keri Russell in real life?
Yes, we did. Yeah, she looked awesome. Like, you know, you always wonder, like, what celebrities are like when the cameras are off, like if they're just kind of dismissive. Like, she was so sweet. She, like, waved to the fans and said hi. Do you remember that? Like, when she walked off stage, she was just, I don't know, you kind of like that she acknowledged, you know, the people in the crowd. And
She was a little lady. I remember thinking to myself, that woman, she needs to eat some Kraft macaroni and cheese. She's a very little girl. Like, yeah. Very.
But I remember she was wearing leather pants during that interview, and I thought, like, God bless. I mean, if you can rock leather pants, you're doing life right.
Bet you are.
Have you ever worn leather pants?
No, but I just bought some black pants, some black jeans, because I'm going to New York on Saturday. And
how are those two related?
Well, like leather, whenever you leather pants, that you got, if you're going to be a man wearing leather pants, you got to wear black leather pants. So,
No. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that question. You said, I bought black pants because I'm going to New York.
Oh, yeah.
You care to explain yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
That's like saying, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to Cincinnati, and that's why I bought, you know, a pink earmuffs. Like,
no,
that
doesn't. No, I would say for all our little fashionistas out there, because I know there's a lot of dude listeners that are very into fashion, right?
Oh, 100%.
We've always said that off air, Will, how fashionable our audience is.
We say this every day when we wake up. Jason calls me and says, Will, we got fashionable fans. I say, yes, sir, we do.
I said, they're not good at commenting or subscribing or anything else, but they're very fashionable. They're probably the best looking fans.
And that's why we're blessed.
And that's why we're blessed. No, but they, but as you know, if you're in New York, you got to wear black. It's just a thing. It's a known thing. You wear black in New York, right?
Okay.
All the kids are doing it. And so I thought, all right, I'm a hip guy. If I'm going to go into New York, I got to be wearing some black. And I got to be wearing some black pants. And so I bought me some black pants, but they're not leather. They're not leather.
Are they like skinny black pants, or are they kind of, well, describe these pants. I kind of know what these pants look like.
I'd say like, yeah, skinny-ish. Straight leg is skinny. Like I know the super tight kind of out of fashion, so I'm letting my boys breathe a little bit, you know?
But these are loose pants.
No. I wouldn't say they're loose. I would just say they're not like they're not like,
I see what you're saying. There's like it's like a mid range pant.
Yeah, a mid range black pant. That's correct. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Do you feel empowered when you wear these pants?
I felt empowered while looking at myself in the mirror. I can only imagine the people of New York City aren't going to know what hit them.
Hey, you know what? As long as you feel good, then you look good. I'm a firm believer in that.
I'm just thinking, you know, they're going to be like, oh, God, look at that. Look at that man in those black pants. Go.
Can I ask you what your opinion is on hats? Because I for as long as I've known myself, which has been 10 years or so, I love wearing hats.
Wait, you've only known yourself for 10 years?
One could argue. And I do not like my hair. I don't mind my hair, but I don't like shaving my hair. So I put a hat on all the time. I'm always wearing a hat.
What do you mean you don't like shaving? You don't like
No. I don't like shaping. I don't like to mold it and make it look, you know, I just don't, wrong. I don't think I look good with short hair. And so I just have shaggier hair and I don't like to shape it. And, my question is, do you think hats are, do you think a fashion forward person would be like, dude, that guy wears hats and he's such a loser? Cause sometimes I feel that way.
No, Will, you're a fashion icon.
Man, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard for years. Now, I will say, if you're going to wear a hat, I do think you may have to overcompensate with the rest of the outfit. I think that's one of the keys.
I gotcha.
You may have to go beyond and above what the rest of us Harrys, some would call us, people that actually show their hair, the Harrys, are doing.
That makes a lot of sense to me. That makes sense. And I love how you said beyond and above. I love how you switched it around. It's kind of whimsical.
Yeah, well, it could be the dyslexia, but yes, I think that's...
So do you say like true and tried?
I do that. Sometimes I do that on calls, and it's like, it's funny. I've gotten to a point, though, where I'm pretty good at it, where I'm like, I'm sure people think I'm insane, like, on these calls, because I'll say something, I'll be like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I'll just, like, say, and then I'll just, like, keep going into my thing, and I'm just like, but I also think, like, if I was listening to somebody giving me, a professional speech, and they were able to catch themselves and like acknowledge it. In my head, I'd be like, I like this guy more than I would like the other person.
It's the confidence, is what you're saying. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, sure,
I get it.
So let's go back to my eye, really.
Oh, please,
right?
Yeah. Go back to your non-fart eye.
So my non-fart eye, and yeah, I get really concerned because again, my son has a very interesting condition where we have to be very sensitive if there's something floating around. So yeah, I went to the one of those minute clinics as soon as I woke up, and they gave me this goop. It's like a goop. You gotta like it's like Vaseline. You have to put in your eye, and it is it's kind of gross. I'm not gonna lie, but I'm hoping these bad boys, my peepers are back to 100% a couple days. That's why I've been wearing my glasses. That's one of the problems with contacts. I think at some point I'll commit to LASIK. I don't know. I've gone this far in life without LASIK, and I just think, like, I'll just keep using contacts or glasses, right? I don't know.
I have a friend who did LASIK, and he's probably 10 years into it now, and he said his eyesight is starting to kind of go back down. It's not as bad as it used to be, but... I know LASIK doesn't last forever. Your eyes go back to being poopy. But
I wish when you got LASIK, I wish it not only helped your eyesight, but it also like made your eyes more sexy. Wouldn't that be nice?
Are you insecure about your eyes?
No, I really like my eyes, but it'd be very nice if they were like, look at his. I swear he got LASIK. Those can't be his natural eyes. He definitely got LASIK. Look at those bad boys. That would be cool, though, if they made you, like, have, like, Elijah Wood eyes or, like, you know, like...
He's got some great eyes. You're right. He has some great eyes.
Baby Blues.
Mila Kunis eyes. She's got great eyes, too. Imagine if the power that Elijah Wood and Mila Kunis would have if they had a kid.
Now, she has brown eyes, correct?
Yeah, but she still got great eyes, though.
No, I know. I just feel like the blue eyes, as a brown-eyed man, I just feel like... outside of the what was that? You're My Brown Eyed Girl. Outside of that, who was that?
Van Morrison.
Yep, Van Morrison. You're my brown eyed girl. But yes, you know, I like a good pair of brown eyes. But maybe if I got my eyes done, you know, people would say, "Ooh, look at him go! Those perky eyes. Got them perky eyes."
You know what's interesting? I never had insecurity about my eyes until I had children, because obviously you kind of lose sleep and you just, it's, you know, you're tired all the time. And I started noticing the bags under my eyes. You can't really see it here because I genuinely use toner before every podcast because I want to hide these bags. And I'm not insecure about it, but I've noticed Skaggs men... If you look at all the Skaggs men in my family, we have notoriously baggy eyes. Like, my grandfather, my dad, his brothers, like, dude, we got some... The TSA says, stop, we gotta check those bags. Because they are...
Wait, you use toner?
I've been using toner for the last, like, 5 years, dude.
You use makeup?
Toner.
What's toner?
Toner, like, I don't know. All I know is you're supposed to clean, exfoliate, tone, and moisturize. That's all I know. I think toner just makes your skin...
Okay, but toner is not the stuff that, like...
No, no, no. Okay. No, it's like a liquid. It's like, it like, I don't know, it tones your skin.
You know what I've used from time to time? I've used the little things that you put under, maybe it's toner. They're the little stickers, and you put them under your eyes, and you have them sit there for a little bit. And
what
then
do they
your
do?
Eyes, it perks up. It gets rid of the under the bat.
You and I are so great at talking about skincare. It's Redonx. And I don't even say Redonx a lot. That's how Redonx it is.
That's the kind of men we are. We're just so confident
mm-hmm.
in our skincare regimen. I was thinking, we were texting a couple weeks ago. So I don't know why me and you were texting back and forth. Was it about making up the lyrics to something? Was that the prompt?
No, so I was asking, have you ever given a speech and just blanked, like forgot what you were trying to say? And you said, yes, I have. And how you improvised in a show that you forgot the lines to.
So, yeah, no, it gets better than that, really, because if you do theater or you do whatever, like, there's always a little bit of that, right? There's going to be some show where you forget the lines, or, you know, you forget them momentarily and then it'll come back to you, or somebody will, like, you know, it was a common thing where if you forgot something, like somebody would be like, you know, they figure out a way to get you back on track. And usually how my brain would work is it would get off. If it did get off track, it'd be off track for like a moment. And then I could usually right the ship and just start chugging along with the lines that were necessary. I've probably been in all like 20 plus productions of some way, shape or form. Maybe it's like 30 or like, upwards of that, right? It actually probably is. Probably like 30 or 40. And I'm talking about like everything from like a big...
Maybe
like,
50 to 60? You keep upping the answer. You're like, probably 20. Maybe 30.
I only say that because, okay, like if I start thinking of like, you have to go through like basically the Rolodex of like anything I've ever done that's like kind of like a performance driven. Like it, whether it's like a two-man play, or whether it's a two-man play, or whether it was an audition, or it was something, like, you know, there's all these little things that you put in. They're not necessarily a big stage show that you did, but you start counting all those things up. Plus, like, I did a lot of performing in college and a lot of skits and shows and stuff like that. Like, it really is a ton when you start thinking about everything that you did. And there's two that really stick out to me, because out of almost all of those, they all kind of went off in kind of the way you expected. Either it went pretty well, or if it didn't go well, you kind of saw why it wasn't going to go well, but you could kind of overcome it, or, you know what I mean? You kind of knew what you had. But there was two shows, and within any production I'd ever been in, I will say this is one of the cool things about, like, theater or performing live, it never seems like it's going to work until usually 48 hours, 72, if you lay 72 hours to 24 hours before the actual production takes place.
I want to say, I was never in theater. I was always in baseball, but your thing was theater in high school, and you, you would always talk about how the theater director just had a meltdown every yep. single time before a production. I always thought that was hilarious.
Every larger show I've ever been in, there's been some level of that. But I say all that to say, there, out of all the things I've been in, there was only a couple things that, like, there's that moment 24 hours beforehand, and you're like, oh my God, we're not going to pull it off. And that's a crazy moment, because again, As somebody who does it on a regular basis, you're always like, you're there, you think it's not going to happen, and then you have that, I think we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right moment. So, the one I was in was a Living Nativity. For a variety of reasons, we had to, like, it was thrown together. I swear, this entire production was put on the course of, like, a week. which is not good, which does not mean that it's going to go well, right? So I was cast as a wise man and we three kings, and I had a solo, right? I then had the panic attack of, oh my God, like, I don't know the words of this song.
Tell me you improvised your part.
Yeah, I did it. It goes to me, and instantly I blank. But the nice thing is, the only nice thing is, it's one of those.
Oh, yeah, so, right.
So, like, as long as you're just, like, kind of singing along, you know, like, gold and silver, we have gone far. Like, whatever. I don't know. Like, that parrot belongs to Jafar. Like, whatever it is. Like, as long as you're like keeping it going, you're keeping the train going. But my favorite was, I don't know what I said. I blacked out. It was one of those things where, like, I was like, oh my God, I'm singing and I'm blacking out on, like, what the actual lyrics are.
Were you looking?
You know, so, like, keep in mind, like, I need, like, full, like, I feel like full wise men gear, like, a fake beard on me. Like, I look ridiculous, too. Like, but also, like, it was, again, nothing was well planned, so I'm sure I had, like, towels on my head. Like, it was just a very, like, thrown together, terrible wise men outfit. And,
first off, paint a picture. How many people are in the audience?
I mean, I wouldn't say 100, but I would say it was probably between like 50 and 100 people.
Okay.
It was enough.
Are you seeing anybody as you're doing this? Like, are your eyeballs searching for help?
My favorite moment was looking over to somebody in the choir, and they're looking at the, because they have the lyrics in front of them. And I don't know who it was. I can't remember. It was like Robbie Spencer or somebody that we knew. Who was in choir, and he was looking at me. He's like, I remember making eye contact with somebody and trying not to lose it, because they were like looking at the lyrics. They were like, because, you know, the sad thing is, most as a high school person, most of these people are like doing this against their will anyway. They don't want to do this, right?
Do you think you stayed on theme, or do you think you were just like trying to say words that rhymed?
I think it just didn't make sense. I think if somebody like listened to it, it was like he said silver three times. Yeah, it was enough where like a couple people were definitely looking at the lyric sheet and looking at me and being like, what are you doing? But it was terrible. Like, it was just a terrible, terrible production.
I wish I remembered that. I don't know if I was there or not.
No, I think it was one of those things that, like, I knew it was going to be so bad. It was like, I'm not going to tell anybody and just hope no one. Like, it's one of those things, like, you know what you're going to, and you're just praying that, like, no one goes to it so that, because you knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah, it was We Three Kings, one of the most famous, like, Christmas songs of all time, and I just made up the lyrics.
Speaking of Christmas songs, have you noticed that when we sing Christmas songs and we say Israel, we never say Israel. When we talk, we say Israel. You know, Christmas songs, almost every single song, we say Israel.
Israel.
Does anybody say Israel? Is that actually how we're supposed to say it?
I don't know, man, but they really lean into that pronunciation in church. Like, you never hear it until you're at like the midnight mass or the midnight service or the Christmas Eve service or whatever. And then it's just, man, you hear Israel about 45 times. You're absolutely right.
I guess nothing rhymes with Israel.
Israel.
All right, let me make sure too. Okay, audience, we have just made a giant breakthrough potentially.
So yeah, you don't know, but we've been cut for like, I don't know, 10 minutes because JC was having issues with his microphone.
So I have this microphone, detached mic. This is me and Will don't know what we're doing. Let's just be very, very clear. We do not know what we're doing as it relates to podcasting at all, right? We bought these little microphones via Amazon. We have little headphones, but we have no clue what in the world we're doing. So for the last couple episodes, duties, I've been listening to myself on the podcast. I've been thinking, I don't think I sound that good. I wonder if anybody else notices it or it's just me. But then I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, maybe it's, you know, me and Will are trying to figure out this whole editing thing or whatever. Well, finally, as Will is telling a story, he looks at me and he's like, dude, you're not paying attention to anything I'm saying as I'm telling this story. And it's because I became infatuated with the fact that even though this microphone's been plugged in for literally like the last like 5 or 6 sessions, for whatever reason, the microphone on my little headphones is picking it up and overriding it. So you poor duties have been subjected to what I think is probably pretty awful sound quality from me for the last few weeks. So I want to apologize to you, duties. I want to acknowledge that hopefully what you're getting is a much better experience from myself and Mr. Skaggs moving forward. And listen, you know what? We're just trying to be the best versions of ourselves. And I'm hoping that moving forward, you're going to say, you know what? I wasn't going to subscribe before. I wasn't going to leave a comment before. But now, since JC sounds so much better in my ears because he's not being picked up by his crappy microphone in his headphones, you know, and he's actually being picked up by the microphone that he purchased on Amazon for $25. It's just a much better experience.
And, you know, and if you're saying, well, why doesn't Will sound better? Well, my mic has been on and that just means you don't like the sound of my voice. So
you just hate Will. Which that's okay. That's all right. I expected you guys to hate the sound of Will's voice. That's completely fine. But these beautiful pipes, everyone needs to hear it. So again, apologies to everyone else. Everyone, we've fixed it hopefully moving forward. And the quality you're going to get from Dude Podcast is going to be just so much more dutiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Not Penny's boat.
See you in another life, brother.
See you in another life, brother. Whatever was the smoke monster? Did we ever find out what the smoke monster was?
Nobody knows what that show was about. It went from cool to confusing at like season 3, and then we're all just kind of like, yeah, we have no clue what's going on.
Is there any show in the history of shows that started stronger and ended? Trying to think of like an equivalence of it's like you had a race car. And by the end of it, you were one of those pink Barbie big wheels, or you know, those ones that your kid like it transformed over the course of the seasons. It was incredible.
I think 90% of shows end terribly. That's why I usually stop watching almost every show at season 5, because I'm like, I don't like the where it's going. If you can end the show at season 3, I'll be happy. Usually season 3 is a peak on every show.
I think 3 to 4. I think 4 is, I think that's where you end it. I think 3 or 4 is, and then you just that's where it needs to end. Anything longer than that.
Maybe that's why Arrested Development is such a classic. Like they got kicked out.
They didn't even realize it. They didn't even realize that was really all they needed was 3 seasons. And that's why it was so good. Okay, so you were talking about, I am so sorry, you were talking about you were moving away.
Well, let me recount it once more, okay? This will be take number 3.
Sorry.
Okay, so I was having lunch with a buddy last week, a really good friend of mine named David Vavra. I worked with them for many, many years, good guy. And he reminded me of a really great story about a terrible, terrible Airbnb we stayed at in Iowa City a long time ago. So in 2019, I have my son, my wife and I have our son, Archie, and we were living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the time, and we decided we're going to move back home to Oklahoma to be closer to family. So my job in this move was to bring all of our stuff from Milwaukee back to Tulsa, Her job was just to get the baby back to Oklahoma safely. So my parents drove her back home, and I didn't need to worry about her. I knew she and my son were in good hands. So I told David, my buddy, I'm moving back home. And he said, do you need help moving? And I said, you don't have to do that. But he insisted. Well, it's a really great friend. Helped me out. Helped me pack up this U-Haul. And we drove to Iowa City, Kansas City, and then Tulsa. It was a 3-day trip. So in all that madness of having a baby and packing up and moving and all that, I just quickly booked an Airbnb. I didn't think much about it. Usually I'm really good at booking Airbnbs. I'm really good at it. This time I didn't give it much thought. So we get to Iowa City really late, like 9:30. And we get to this nice house, and this older lady comes out, and she's probably 65, 70. And she's like, hi, boys. Like, how was your drive? Great. She's really sweet, really nice. So, and if you're following along on YouTube, I found the pictures on Airbnb. I sent them to you, JC, because I want you guys to see what we were seeing. It's like 9:30. We get in there. And when you walk through her door, you see her house, and it's nice. And then she has a door that is lockable from the outside. It has a keypad locking to the outside. And it says, it has like a warning sign on the door and everything. Like she taped a bunch of like messages all over her walls, right? So we see this and we're like, okay. And we go down this locked door down her basement. And when you go down the stairs, you can see everything is immediately purple and turquoise. It's everything, the floor, everything. When you go down there, you immediately see a purple door to the front of you. But to the left of you, JC, when we got down there, a full-on salon. There was a lady sitting in a salon chair with one of those like things on her head, like getting a perm, and she was just sitting there reading, and she's like, hi, boys. Again, she was probably like, I don't know, in her 60s.
What time was this?
This is 9:30, dude, on a weeknight. Imagine two guys walk down to the sketchy basement. She's running a full-on salon. Right next to the salon that is actively, like, in operation is a purple door that goes right into a room. So right outside of our room that we're sleeping in is a that's a salon that's being operated out of this lady's basement. So then you get into the room. JC, this room had two twin beds, and it was horse-themed. Horse wallpaper, horse statues. I'm going to share, like, horse bed sheets, horse curtains. There's a lava lamp. JC, this room was insane. So outside of this little room was a salon, and in this room was all horse thing.
What state were you in?
Iowa City. We were in Iowa City, in Iowa.
Iowa City, Iowa. Okay.
Which I've been to Iowa City many times. I love Iowa. I love Des Moines. I love Iowa City.
This is University of Iowa, correct?
Yeah. Awesome. It's a great little town. And my wife and I have stayed there many times. We've always had great stays, but this one was insane. So we get there. We have this long drive. And my buddies were like, this is weird, but we're too tired. We're just going to sleep here, get up, and go. So my buddy David, we get in our pajamas, and we're getting ready to go to bed. And my buddy David tries to plug in his iPhone charger, and we just hear, and it shocked his hand. He's like, ah! Like, what is happening with this place?
Wait, did you find, I mean, did it like short out the rest of the house?
No, it just like sparked. Like, I don't know what happened. I think he said like there was a prong that broke off from something else that was still in there.
That was lodged in there?
Yeah,
like a piece of metal was just... That is a fire. That is not safe. Is there any more news on the salon? I feel like I need some more info about the active salon in the basement.
It was, I wish I had a picture of the salon, and I tried to see, oh, that night, we were like, is that a legit salon? Like, we were looking, and it was showing up on the maps. It's not on there anymore, so I can't tell you. But at the time, she had her salon, like, registered. I remember looking at it going, like, she's running a business. I have two businesses out of her basement.
I mean, listen, she is an entrepreneur, Will.
I mean, she's making it happen.
She is.
It's her, you know? If she hadn't been so nice up front, I would have, my buddy and I would have been like, we're getting the hell out of here. This is crazy.
Dude, that is hilarious. I'll tell you my, did I ever tell you my worst hotel story?
I don't know. I want to hear it, though.
I don't know if we shared this. I don't think I've shared this. So we were invited to a wedding, and it was outside of Atlantic City, right? And so, like, I don't, like, when I think Atlantic City or in or around Atlantic City, I think wherever we're going, like, it's going to have cell phone reception, right? Like, what? I don't think of, like, New Jersey as an area that, like, you're not going to get cell phone reception is.
And to refresh my memory, Atlantic City was poised to be like the East Coast Vegas at one point, right?
It basically was like back in like the 40s, 50s, 60s or whatever. And it and there's still some things out there. Like, there are some people, like some performers that have big residencies out there, and there's a few nice hotels, but, you know, it's just now that, you know, gambling is more popular and it's kind of, you can gamble wherever. I think it's kind of lost its luster in that regard. So it's a little, I think rough around the edges would be a nice way to describe Atlantic City.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little rough. I don't think you need to. But so the wedding is at, like, you know, I don't know, like 15 miles outside of Atlantic City or something. Again, like, it's New Jersey. I do not think that cell phone reception and or hotels are going to be difficult to get. So I wait till the last minute, like a bozo, to get a hotel. And, like, dude, there is, like, nothing to get. So I find this place called, like, the Irish Inn or something. And I, you know, I'm like, it has a cute little name, and I was like, all right, like, you know, like, that's something me and Carol Ann always, like, kind of giggle when we go to a creative place. Like, I very rarely have made a mistake when it comes to booking. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's like, normally I have to do like four star or whatever, because, like, everything's inflated, right? If it's a 5-star, it's probably a 4-star. If it's a 4-star, it's a 3-star, 3-star, 2-star. Like, that's kind of like it, like, just in my head, like, the people that complain really complain loud. So you need to always, like, kind of, like, that's the system in my head as it relates to, like, booking things. Will, this was far and away the worst hotel experience I've ever had in my life. Like, and it's not even close. Well, we pull up. First of all, like, the wedding's at this winery. So, like, I've decided I'm wearing, like, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit, I'm gonna be a little jazzy. I'm going to be like I'm going to a horse race or something. I feel like, why not? We're going to this beautiful vineyard. It's spring. Let me get some white pants. Let me get a seersucker suit on, right? I'm going big.
So New York is black pants and Jersey is white pants. That's what you're saying, right?
No, I just for this occasion, I've just decided to really, you know. Well, we show up and it's definitely a motel, right? So, like, you know, you're not a place that you can go in. There is a woman working, a woman, and she is arguing with a patron about something. And the conversation is not going well between the woman behind, it looks to be like bulletproof glass, right? Like, and I'm like, that's not a good sign. Like, you know, you ever been at, like, a convenience store and you don't think you're in a rough neighborhood, and then that convenience store tells you, I think I'm in a rougher place than I thought, Like the convenience store sale. It was the same sort of setup where I'm like, I don't know why she would need.
Do you think this being in Atlantic City, like, there's some connections to maybe like prostitution?
Well, yes, actually.
That's what you're describing.
Well, it kind of seemed like that as the night went on. So, looks rough. Also, so as we finally get our key, the woman was very kind. She gives us our key. But I'm just like, okay, this is bizarre. As we're walking to our room, there are other doors to rooms that are just open. And it looks to be that people are living in this hotel. You know, it doesn't look like, I don't get the impression based upon the patrons that they're there just for a long weekend. I get the impression they are living in the hotel. And let me tell you, Will, it is a rough looking crowd.
Oh, no.
Imagine a lot of, I don't know how to describe, Lieutenant Dans and babies. Imagine that.
Did you end up staying? Because my wife and I would have been like, we're out of here.
Well, the problem is we got there pretty late and the wedding was about to start, right? So we needed to Uber. Well, okay, let me also describe this. We walk into the room. There is a jacuzzi in the middle of the bedroom. It was moist. The room was moist. I'm like, this is not good. But we're running late. And I'm just like, you know what? We only have to stay here for one night. Like we do have that conversation. Do we just try to like get something else? Like, is this like safe? I'm like, okay, like we're going to be fine. We're going to go to this wedding. We're going to drink a bunch. We're going to get in an Uber. Uber there. We'll Uber back. We'll go to sleep. We'll be fine. Right. That's not good logic. Don't use that logic. No, that's not good logic. Terrible logic. So we go to the wedding. And I make the mistake of, I think, taking off my suit jacket and I think leaving my car keys end up somewhere else and the keys to the hotel end up somewhere else. So we end up Ubering back. Our phones are on like very low percentage. And guess what? There's no one working the front desk. So we cannot get into our motel, right?
Oh, no.
The problem then is, okay, well, hey, we have a ton of family there. We can just make calls. The reception at this place is horrible. Like, some of the worst reception I've ever, like, we keep getting, and our phones are on, like, 5%, right? So, also, this motel is right off the highway. So, like, I have to then, like, start walking. Like a two-lane highway down, two-lane highway up, right? There's it's not safe. It is not safe at all. And at this point, I'm like, okay, like, I have to go find us. Like, there's a few other hotels, I guess another hotel just to, like, you know, luckily I have my wallet on me. So I'm like, I can, you know, just try to get it for the night. No one has vacancy. No one's letting us in. And I'm telling you, Will, like, there are seedy things going on at all of these hotels. I'm not exaggerating. Like, every one I walked into was like that. Every place I went, like, I felt like I was horribly out of place. Again, I look like a jack A, you know, like with like a, I just came from a wedding. I got my hair, like, I just look horribly out of place. And I'm just like, sir, can I get a hotel room? And they're looking at me like,
where's Carol Ann at this point?
Oh, that's also terrible. So she is so tired. And you've ever, you know, my wife, when she gets tired, she can sleep anywhere. She is literally like back at the hotel. Like, she's like, I can't walk with you. I'm so exhausted. I'm going to like lean up against a tree and like fall asleep. She's in like a dress. None of this is safe. None of this is good. And
she's sleeping on the tree outside.
We're outside. Stuck outside. Also, to your point about ladies of the night, we definitely see people coming and going. And I don't know what these people did, but if I was a betting man, I would definitely say they were escorts.
There was Congress involved.
There was a decent amount of that. So finally, thank God, dude, we get a callback from some, like, I have like 2%. It was like, you know, the Hanukkah story, how like they just thought they were going to run out of oil and that light just kept on shining for 7 days. My phone somehow miraculously stayed on.
Where did you get a call from though?
We got a call from Anita Fazio, who was Bobby, whose sister was getting married. We had talked to her and mentioned, like, because she had been like, hey, my room, I got this suite, and like, if you guys want to crash here, you can. And so like, I shot her a text, like, because I was just like, I was like, please, like, we may need to sleep there, we're having some issues. She calls me and like, hey, do you guys want to like Uber back here? I mean, seriously,
how did you Uber if you were on 2%?
It was enough that we could at least get the Uber and then I could plug it in. Like, it like died like as like they were pulling up.
Wow.
Dude, that was also like a top 10. Like, I'm not sure my marriage is going to survive this. Like,
was she mad at you?
She was not happy at all.
But here's what I'm thinking this whole time. You travel a fair amount. How did you not book something for this wedding? That's such a rookie mistake that, like, even someone who doesn't travel a lot would know to book a hotel.
It was bad, man. It was a mistake that I'm shocked that I made. And I got a lot of venom from my wife, who then proceeded to fall asleep. It was incredible. It was like, and then it was like two things of like, oh God, my wife hates me. Oh God, my wife is going to fall asleep and then we're all going to die.
That frustration is justifiable in many ways.
Yes. No, I don't blame her at all. But then I'm just like, I'm a failure. Not only my failure in the sense of like, she hates me, but like, she's going to be sold into prostitution.
Here's the thing. You not only picked a terrible hotel out, but you left the key in your jacket at the venue. So
something happened. Yeah, it was, dude, it was bad, man. But here's the thing. Here also was one of the reasons for my errors. I travel so much, Will. I have never been to a hotel or a motel where somebody is not working to be able to give you an extra. So that's on me. I've never now made the mistake of any time not coming back with my key. Cause man, it was bad, man. So we ended up getting there, crashing there. It was all good. My wife took me back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, William, I'm glad that we have two terrible hotel motel stories. That might be most of the podcast right there, just telling our terrible hotel motel stories right there. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll be back next week.
We will. Absolutely. Have a great week, duties.
See you.